This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Jay Hanselman. In the last decade, Hamilton County's population declined, and at the same time, the number of housing units increased in the county. So now there's an oversupply. We're going to talk about that issue and some other facts contained in a comprehensive economic development strategy, or a blueprint to improve the county's economy. My guests are Paula Boggs-Muthing, General Counsel for the Port of Greater Cincinnati Development Authority and Vice President for Community Revitalization, Todd Kinski, Director of the Hamilton County Regional Planning Commission, and Kathy Schwab, the Executive Director of the Local Initiative Support Corporation of Greater Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky. You can join the conversation, too. Our phone number is 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Coming up later in the hour, a conversation with the winner of the latest class at Bad Girl Ventures. Again, if you'd like to join the conversation, 513-419-7100. We have a lot to cover here in 25 minutes. I don't want Todd to feel left out here. I think most people will know what the Planning Commission sort of does, but there might be a little bit of confusion about the Port Authority and, Kathy, your organization. So, Paula, if you'll go first. Port Authority, you know, somebody may think seaport, but that's not necessarily what the Port Authority does. Just describe what your organization is about.
So port authorities in Ohio are more akin to economic development agencies. They have all of the powers of a seaport, port authority, but they also have special powers in public finance and economic development and redevelopment tools. At the Port Authority, we are also we also manage the Hamilton County Land Bank. So my business line is the Community Revitalization business line, and so the Land Bank sits within that business line, and that's where we do most of our neighborhood work, revitalization, and things like that.
We'll get to the Land Bank a little later. Kathy, the Local Initiative Support Corporation of Greater Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky. What do you folks do?
Or LISC for short. It's much easier to say. We're a national community development organization, so we invest in neighborhood revitalization, and we do that by bringing in grants and loans. And we're a community development financial institution, so we invest where banks won't go.
And we're going to be talking about the oversupply of housing units, and this information is contained and what I think is called the Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy. Todd, what is that? I called it a blueprint. That's probably a little bit of a simplification, but what is the strategy?
The strategy is a plan that's required by the federal economic development organization for any local economic development organization that wants to get federal funds. So in this case, the Hamilton County Development Corporation is required to do a plan every 5 years. So that's where the plan has its origin.
And the blueprint part of that aspect is where you're laying out, this is what we're going to do, this is our goals to improve Hamilton County's economic outlook.
Exactly.
When we start talking about housing, one of the stats that this report mentions was the what happened to Hamilton County's population from 2000 to 2010. Give me some insight on there was a decline and what that decline was between 2000 and 2010.
Well, there was a decline. I'm not sure I have the exact number right off the top of my head, but I think the number that we really were focusing on at the with this report was in the number of occupied housing units and the number of vacant housing units and how there's a big gap there. And I think that's what both LISC and the Land Bank really have expertise in discussing. But there has been, Hamilton County as the core county in the region has been losing population for the last 40 years.
And that population loss from the county has been, has actually, some of those folks have gone, and you've seen the bounce of numbers in Butler, Warren, and Claremont counties, the counties that ring Hamilton County.
As well as Northern Kentucky.
When we talk about housing units, and that, some may think that's just a single family house, but for what we're talking about, a housing unit is essentially any place that someone could live, whether it be a single-family residence, an apartment, or a condominium.
That's correct.
And the actual number of households in Hamilton County during that same period of 2000 to 2010, the actual number of households decreased, but those numbers of housing units actually continued to increase. Is that that's correct?
That's correct.
And Cincinnati's regions, the rate of land consumption outpaced the population growth by about 30%, which is a pretty staggering number.
When you talk, let's go ahead and talk about the land bank. I mean, when people think bank, that's someplace where you know, maybe if you have a savings account, you get a little extra money, you put it in your savings account, and then you just keep adding to it. Sort of the same principle, I think, with a land bank as you you get these vacant parcels, you're trying to put them together into pieces where they're open up for more development in the future. Is that correct?
Well, there are a couple of ways that we serve as a repository for vacant and abandoned properties. One way is through doing strategic parcel assembly. But another way is just through picking up pieces of land or buildings on a street, the redevelopment or rehabilitation of which could have a positive impact on that neighborhood as a whole. And so what we try to do is make sure that we're bringing residents, attracting residents back into existing homes and rehabilitating them so that they are energy efficient and attractive to new buyers.
Kathy, do you want to add to that?
This is the work we support. We're all engaged in trying to rebuild, you know, our economic base, and I think we do it by investing in place in neighborhoods to bring people back to those neighborhoods.
The one of the housing key points that it pointed out, I believe that if the number I read was correct, there's a 50,000 oversupply of housing units in Hamilton County. Is that correct?
Well, actually, it's not. It's 50,000 is a little bit misleading because some of those numbers are, and again, these were pulled from when the census was taken. So those included building.
Which is now 3 to 4 years old.
Oh, right. But I'm looking, the numbers I'm quoting are from the 2000 to 2012 3-year sample. And it also included properties that were for sale, units that were for rent but not occupied. But the actual other vacant number, that's the term the census uses, in that 3-year period was actually 26,000. So we're still talking tens of thousands of vacant units in the county.
But there has been some improvement since the 2010 number, which could have been the 50,000.
Actually, 50,000 is bad. 26,000 is
good. Well, that's what I mean. It's better now than in 2010 when you had the 50,000 number.
I would hope. I mean, the problem with the census is that they do a sample from year to year, so it's really hard to get a good number until they give you.
I think that's probably true because there were less housing starts over the last 3 years, although they picked up in 2013. So with less housing starts, that means some of the vacant properties can be more absorbed.
Kathy, before we started, you said that this is not a new thing, that this oversupply has been happening for some time. So this is not something that just happened in the last decade.
There was a study that Governor Strickland did back in 2010 that took a look at the three largest economic regions in the state, and that was Columbus, Cleveland, and in Cincinnati, it was downtown, uptown, and we're the largest job centers. And they found that that we've been overbuilding since the 70s. I mean, there was some startling numbers that they came up with that I can give you later, and we can put it out on a website. But that overbuilding has been consistent up until, you know, 2008 when housing starts really fell off.
If there's this oversupply, I'm thinking you had some big projects. The Banks project included a lot of apartments. There's been a lot of condos and apartments and over the Rhine. I believe the next phase of the Banks project includes more apartments. There's a development, I believe, at the old Tower Place garage next to that that's going to include more apartments. So if you've got an oversupply, I guess the some might ask, why keep building more housing units?
We have an oversupply of what's not in demand. What is in demand are smaller units. One of the statistics that's out there is 88% of households over the next 10 years are going to be childless. So there's no need for the 4- and 5-bedroom big homes in the suburbs and cul-de-sacs. We're having more immigrants move into the community. They tend to live in job centers. Transportation's challenging. So there's a lot of reasons, I think,
It all makes sense, though, right? Because I think from an economic perspective, if you look at changing needs or changing desires of a homeowner or someone who wants to purchase a home, it is more expensive for someone to choose a home within the city that's already built and then to rehabilitate it according to their needs. It's much cheaper for a builder to go out and build something brand new outside of the city or further and further into the county and then into the adjoining county. And I think that's kind of the reason that sprawl exists. But I do think that this is indicative of a change in the way that people view where they live, where they work. People do want to move back into the core of downtown, and I think that's why the banks and developments like that have been so popular, because they do offer all of the amenities of what you might find elsewhere in the suburbs, but it is right downtown.
Is this oversupply, is it targeted to specific areas of the county, specific neighborhoods in the city?
It's in all the counties. It's in all four counties surrounding Hamilton County, so it's not just Hamilton County.
What role do foreclosures play in this?
Well, the number of vacant properties has almost doubled in the last 15 years in the four counties that surround Hamilton County as well. So it has a huge impact on neighborhoods.
I mean, the foreclosure crisis created unstable neighborhoods out of neighborhoods that had been really solid middle class or lower middle class neighborhoods. And so adding those additional vacant properties and kind of putting stress on those neighborhoods has only contributed to kind of the out migration of people from the city.
What should the average person who's listening to this take away from it, that, you know, if there is this oversupply, or, you know, we're not in some parts of the county, there are, you know, not the housing choices that people want. What do people do with this information?
Well, I mean, this is one reason that government subsidy is required for the redevelopment and rehabilitation of existing homes, particularly in the urban core. You know, it takes more money to rehab and create something that is desirable. And so the government's going to have to step in because the private market is just not able to do that right now.
And I would say that one of the issues is that local communities, and I'm going to say outside of the city, need to take a good hard look at the land makeup and the land uses in their communities. And places like Deer Park and Madeira, they can't continue to just be single-family houses because the needs are different, the demands are different, accessibility issues are huge these days. And I think everyone has grown up with this. If I grew up in this neighborhood, everyone lives in single-family houses, and that's just not the future. A lot of the folks who are making those decisions are baby boomers, and they all grew up in these big single-family neighborhoods. And for places like our first suburbs to survive, they have to be willing to make really difficult decisions about land use. And those things sometimes are very difficult for neighbors, you know, when you have zoning battles and those kinds of things. But it's a really challenge. I think it's a really challenging time for suburbs.
Is this one of those things? I have family who live in Atlanta, and I know a couple of times when I've been down there to visit, you'll see where they're demolishing a home and building something new in its place because they want the convenience of being close to downtown or midtown, but what's there they don't find attractive. Is that something that's on the horizon for Cincinnati?
Well, I think that has been part of the solution for a long time. I mean, I think that one thing we do if we're redeveloping a neighborhood responsibly is that we try to balance the need for blight remediation for a new product with preserving our neighborhood's character. I mean, each of these neighborhoods have a unique character, and you want to make sure that because that's a very attractive selling point to a lot of families, a lot of residents. And so you want to make sure you're preserving that at the same time you are dealing with the blight and the vacancy.
And or creating housing opportunities for all people in the neighborhood. The young people who, you know, move out of their parents' home that may want to live in an apartment but stay in the same community, stay in a walkable neighborhood like Northside. So that's why the Cincinnati Can building is so popular and why it leased up immediately. neighborhoods like that that are walkable, that have the amenities, and for the elderly as well as for the young hipsters.
Yeah, I would say also that one of our big issues is we have almost every zoning code, and I'm going to exclude the cities because they have a new zoning code, is really all geared at growth, and very few of them are geared for redevelopment. And, as communities revision themselves and they look at, the things that they want to protect and things they want to keep, looking at their rules and regulations are really important, and those are the kinds of things a lot of elected officials don't want to spend their time doing.
I think there was a line in the report that talked about a mismatch between housing units and income. Can someone address what that mismatch is?
Well, I think in the urban core, something that we've seen is that in the larger, so take, for instance, Avondale has a lot of those big old houses. They're beautiful. Certainly they were grand at one point, but at this point they are falling into disrepair. They're extremely expensive to maintain. The energy bills are extremely expensive. They're not at all energy efficient. The money it takes to maintain those types of properties is often something that families in the lower income brackets just can't afford.
When we were talking about the land bank, Hamilton County is a big county, but I guess when you actually look at it, and I think before we went on the air, we talked about if we exclude, the parklands, there's only like 17% of the land in Hamilton County that right now remains undeveloped. Is that true?
Sounds right. I didn't bring that data with me, but it sounds right. I mean, we are largely a built-out community, and we have a lot of geographic constraints with steep slopes and streams and things like that. So it sounds about right.
This is one of the great roles of the land bank, is to be able to put properties together for repurposing, whether they be industrial, commercial, residential.
There is a great deal of obsolete housing stock that can be demolished, and then that land can be repurposed. I think that is really one of the key things to look at when you decide whether or not you're going to demolish or rehab is, what is it masonry? Is it in a neighborhood? Will demolishing it kind of create other opportunities? Or are you really just, pulling out some teeth and you're going to have a neighborhood that doesn't look quite right?
What about, there was another number that jumped out of me that, according to the report, that 4 of every 10 households are renters, and that the county's home ownership rate, I think, falls below the state and national average. Why is that a concern?
Well, I'm not sure if it is a concern as a more of just being a fact. I think most folks tend to think that the higher ownership rate that you have, then the better care that people will take of their communities, and they care more. But one of the issues in Hamilton County is that we just have a lot of apartment buildings. And the city, for example, is always, getting this bad rap of having a low ownership rate. But if you look at the housing stock, there's a lot of apartments. And so, of course, you can't own an apartment building, So, I'm not sure that's really a bad thing, especially as the market's changing. I think there's more of a demand for apartments than there was in the past.
I just became a renter for the first time in, 25, 30 years, and I like it.
So why did you make that choice?
We wanted to move downtown. We sold our big house that was not energy efficient, and the kids had gone off, on their own, and we just decided to downsize and live in a very walkable. I haven't taken my car out in 3 days. I had to dig it out of the snow this morning. So it's a great lifestyle.
We had an email from Matthew who wanted to know, would more funding to public transportation help make many of these houses more attractive to buyers, the funding for public transportation?
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of that's the theory behind any transportation, is that it creates economic development. It creates opportunities, housing redevelopment, vacant property redevelopment. So absolutely,
and
we should definitely invest in.
And by far, I don't want to belabor on this, but that's some of the arguments that have been made for the streetcar project.
I wasn't going to go there, but absolutely.
And I would say that if you look at Greater Cincinnati as a region, and you compare it to other cities large metropolitan cities in the United States. I think one of the key factors that keeps us from being, you know, a good city and going to a great city is the lack of a good regional transit system, whether it's just better bus system or it's something more more intensive than that. But, you know, we've got, you know, all these counties with their own systems, and we have, you know, a river that runs through the, you know, multiple states. I think it's one of our biggest issues as a region.
And housing choices that people are making right now are that they want to live in dense communities that are walkable, and that lends itself to a public transportation system. You know, people that are willing to live in an urban core and want to extend the amount of places they can go by walking, I mean, the key to that is public transportation.
What kind of funding is available for people who may want to take one of these properties and rehab it? Are there programs to help them do that? Like you said, to take the older home that may not be energy efficient, is large, and do something with it to make it more energy efficient?
So that may be coming. I mean, I don't really know of many programs out there right now. I mean, one of the things that we're doing at the Port Authority through the land bank is we are actually going to start rehabbing a number of properties in Evanston, and then we will put them up for sale on the private market, you know, through a realtor. But those properties will be rehabbed up to our housing quality standards, and they will be attractive for purchasers who would otherwise want to live in, you know, Oakley or Madisonville. And those are the kinds of products that we think people are looking for right now, and they will be a lot less expensive. And Evanston has this really great they have a great community. It's very engaged. They're very close to the downtown core, to what's going on at Xavier and to Sales Corner. And we think that there is a lot of opportunity there. And I think that the next phase, after we complete our rehabs and have those properties sold and kind of stabilize that community, there will be opportunities for people to buy a home that needs to be rehabbed and then actually be able to get financing to do that work.
We hear a lot, again, about downtown and over the Rhine with the apartment building and the condos. Is that kind of activity taking place elsewhere in the county, and we just don't hear about it because everybody's focused on downtown and the core of downtown?
While you're thinking about that, Todd, I'll just add that one of the reasons why there is so much focus on housing in the urban core is that between downtown and uptown and over the Rhine, one out of every seven jobs goes to that region. So the idea is that people want to live closer to where they work, and it's just a natural attraction. It's one of the reasons why the streetcar is so important to get from downtown to uptown. It's a huge economic generator for us.
Well, there are. I know in Northside there's another new project coming, and some things going on in Oakley. But I was actually at a meeting a couple weeks ago with a guy from Claremont County that was telling me about a very high density multifamily project that they're going to be doing out along I-275 in the Claremont County area. So I think this whole concept of density and multifamily living is not just unique to downtown Cincinnati.
And Paula, before we're about to run out of time here, what's the port's role in making this stuff? I mean, you're in charge of community revitalization, but I would assume that part of that depends on adequate funding from government agencies for the Port Authority.
Well, the land bank is separately funded. The county actually funds the land bank, so we have about $3 million in funding per year. Of course, we do rely on the city and the county to fund the Port Authority organization. So the more money we got for community revitalization, of course, the more we could spread this out into other communities.
We've been talking about the oversupply of housing units in Hamilton County and the Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy, or the Blueprint to Improve the County's Economy. My guests were Paula Boggs-Muthing, General Counsel for the Port Authority of Greater Cincinnati and Vice President for Community Revitalization, Todd Kensky, Director of the Hamilton County Regional Planning Commission, and Kathy Schwab, the Executive Director of the Local Initiative Support Corporation of Greater Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Coming up after the break, we're going to hear from the winner of the latest graduating class of Bad Girl Ventures. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.